happens, rare for us to be in the top 10 in the draft. But that was our number one goal in the offseason. We knew once we got there that there were going to be some unique opportunities, and we had to take advantage of them. This trade was a decision we made with a great degree of research and conversations between our head coach, all our scouts, our coaches, and our owner. All of these groups contributed greatly to this decision. In the end, based on all the evaluations over the last several weeks and even months, we decided that moving up to the second pick was the right move for our franchise. Let me be clear. Sam Bradford is our starting quarterback. We've told Sam that. We intend to support him, and the moves we made this offseason we believe will give us a chance to compete this season. I'll take questions.
So are you not for sale?
No.
Are you to solidify that you'll take a quarterback at number two?
Yes.
You addressed this last week when we asked you about it. You would be comfortable moving up, not knowing who the Rams would take.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you're still in that position where you feel like no matter who they take, you're comfortable with the next best guy.
Yeah, that's the only way you can make this trade, is to be really comfortable with both of those guys. We've spent a ton of time investigating these guys, looking as well as what's out there going forward, looking at the quarterback market not only this year, next year, in 2018, and understanding that although this doesn't fit an immediate need, that this is a rare opportunity that we're in.
Do you know who the Rams are taking?
No.
What percentage are you sure that you're going to get the quarterback that you want, or are you fine with either Goff or Wentz?
We're very sure we're going to get the player we want.
Why structure it the way you did in terms of picks in 17 and 18?
Well, I think, first of all, we still have some things we want to do in this draft, and it was hard for us to give away every pick on Friday because we saw some opportunities there. And when you look at a pick in 2018, you can prepare for that better. So it's a hard pill to swallow. We understand that. It's a tough price to pay. Congratulations to the Browns and their organization. The way they handled it was first class. But that was the reason we felt like we can do this trade, because we had some time to prepare for the loss.
You said you were confident you were going to get the guy that you wanted, but you're not sure who the Rams are going to take. How do you know that?
It's like Inspector Clouseau. You're going to have to connect the dots there, Les.
I mean, isn't it kind of odd that the Rams are determining who your next quarterback is?
I think it goes to the point you have to be very comfortable with both of those quarterbacks and believe that they have a shot to being great, to being Pro Bowl caliber. If you felt really strongly about just one and you didn't feel like you knew the direction they were going in, then you'd wait till you're on the clock to make this trade.
Enough in Sam to give him the contract that you did and to name him the starting quarterback.
We're going to invest in quarterbacks. You know, when you go back and you study, and I know I've said this a lot this off season, but the reality is I had a lot of time to do that, and we as an organization had time to go back and study. What are the keys to winning? What's the keys to being championship caliber over a long period of time? And I don't think I'm saying anything that no one in this room doesn't believe in. It's quarterbacks. And so for us, we have a unique situation where we have our head coach, our offense coordinator, our quarterback coach, who we're extremely excited, have a great history with quarterbacks, a unique luxury in this league to have those guys. Who knows how long that's going to last? And then when we went and researched and saw what the quarterback classes are going to look like going forward, next year, 2 years out, that's a daunting proposition. Now, a lot of things change. There's no question. What we see now is probably not what we see a year from now or 2 years from now. But it's also going back and looking at the history of the last 15 years and picking in the top 10 once. And the year we picked in the top 10, there was no quarterback there to pick. So if you commit that you're going to invest in quarterbacks and you have people here who we think can teach quarterbacks as well as any in the National Football League, sometimes you got to put your money where your mouth is.
When you guys were at number 13, was that kind of the goal all along, to figure out a way to get to the top one or two spots?
It was hard to envision that scenario at 13, that we would be able to get this high because of the resources that we had at our disposal. So our first goal, it was kind of in steps. Our first goal was to try to get into the top 10 because we did think that there was a difference between being 13 for us and being in the top 10. And once we got into the top 10 and had some time to evaluate what was there at the top 10 and then go back on our research and look at the uniqueness of this moment, we felt that we had to take advantage of it.
Was there other competition for the other teams trading into that number 2 pick?
You'd have to ask the Browns that. You know, for us, again, it goes about what's best for us and what we felt was a unique opportunity sitting here in January 1st, picking 13th, and going back and looking at our history and, again, all the research we did about the future and what it looked like.
Where did you come up with that kind of conversation?
Well, you know, it goes back to what I said 2 years ago when we were trying to trade up. Once a trade is made, it's something that you have to go off of. I mean, it kind of dictates a lot of the compensation. And we weren't in position to give up that kind of compensation because we didn't have any second-round picks. So we had to get creative. And for us, it was weighing the risks of losing out on an opportunity that we thought was unique for our team.
Are the two guys completely even on your board, or is there one that you would prefer to have?
It's like vanilla or chocolate, Rube. You know, it's like pepperoni pizza or sausage. You know, what do you like better? You know, and that's the best part about this is that they're not the same guy. They're different. They're unique in so many ways, and at the same time, they both have some really great traits, and that gives them a chance. I like vanilla and chocolate. Vanilla and chocolate. We have a good relationship with the Rams, so we'll talk to them. You know, maybe they'll fly us out to LA for a day just to hang out. The weather here is probably nicer.
Howie, if it ends up being Wentz, how much more of a risk is it, this type of move, given that he's coming from 1AA and he has a shorter sample size compared to Scott?
It's hard to be great if you don't take some risks. And when you look at it, there's very few sure things at any position in the draft. I mean, you go back and you research it, and whatever position you're talking about, let alone the quarterback position. But it's a great opportunity for someone who not only has the coaching that we have here and the support they have here, but the time, the benefit of time. And we saw that with Doug being here with Donovan. You saw that in Green Bay. You saw that in San Diego with Phillip Rivers. You certainly saw that in New England with Tom Brady and the benefit of sitting and watching and observing. These are young guys. The National Football League is a big jump from any level. And I think that's one of the things that we also looked at is that we're not positioned where anyone has to come in and play this year, conceivably next year.
What's the impetus of doing the deal now as opposed to waiting until draft night and particularly after seeing who the Rams are?
Well, I think it goes back to being comfortable with either outcome. You have to be comfortable with either outcome, which we are. And then the second part is the unknown about is there something laying in the weeds? Is there something that changes from other teams? You know, the compelling thing for us was when we went about and doing this research and looked at what the landscape looked at, not only in the college market and the NFL market, but the possibility that a lot more teams were needing quarterbacks. Or that you'd go forward and you need a quarterback 3 years from now. And even if you're picking the top five, that teams that are at one or two wouldn't trade out. And so for us, it was a bigger risk of all those factors going forward. And maybe the certainty of it costs a little bit more. But the upside on that from our franchise and from our position was not worth the risk.
How important was it to keep your second, third round pick in this year's draft?
It was important. It was important for us to come out of Friday with a player that we thought can help us. And when we kept looking over our draft board and having our discussions, we felt like we had a chance to get a player who can come in and contribute to our team. And the strength of this draft matches some of the things that we're looking for. So not that we'll draft for need, but it kind of matches up for where we have guys slotted.
How was Doug involved in the decision-making process?
Heavily involved. Obviously, you know, you're talking about someone who has an expertise in quarterbacks, you know, going out there and working all these guys out, having their hands on him, him and being around great quarterbacks. You know, we relied on – it was a collaboration of a lot of coaches and scouts and opinions and looking at analytics. And but certainly we're not making this decision without Doug saying, let's go.
Did he insist that he wanted to – almost like Andy did in his first year, a guy that he can tag as a potential franchise quarterback?
Yeah, the model for him was that when he looked at that. But I think it goes back to our conversation. You can't invent one. And when you look at the history of it, there's not a large history of guys in the third, fourth, fifth round who end up being guys who give you ability to compete for championships year after year.
A year ago when you made the trade for Sam, Jeff called him a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. If he stays healthy. He's still young enough that he could have been your quarterback for the next 6, 7, 8 years.
He still could.
Well, but you make a trade for a guy that you clearly feel is your future. Do these guys have a bigger upside than Sam?
No, for us, I think that we look at it as investing in the quarterback position. And when we were really successful, we invested in quarterbacks. We turned around, and some of them ended up being in trades that got us assets. That was part of the research that we did about looking at the market as a whole, looking at the lack of quarterbacks in the National Football League. And I think it goes back to the first press conference that I had where when we look at our depth chart at the quarterback position, we're extremely excited about what we have.
Did Sam know?
Yes.
Did he come before practice today? Did he come during practice? How was that?
Yeah, we talked to him before practice, and we all had a conversation with him, Jeffrey, myself, and Doug.
Did you gauge his reaction that he'll be able to keep his head in the game?
Oh, he's a pro. I have no concerns about Sam's professionalism and his competitiveness.
You mentioned the owner. Barry Rowe is a general manager come before us. And say, hey, the owner was involved in this as well. How much more has Jeffrey been involved this year since you reascended compared with his involvement before, I guess, last year? Is he more involved this year?
Do we have a GM? I don't know. What's that? Does someone have that time? I'm sorry. I was thinking about my joke, so I didn't hear any of your question. What did you say?
Is Jeffrey involved today than he was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago?
Jeffrey's always been involved when you talk about this kind of the magnitude of this decision. I don't know any organization in sports, certainly in the National Football League, where ownership isn't involved when you're trading up of this magnitude.
What is your level?
Is he involved more today than he was before? He's making trips to Fargo. He's going places like that. It seems that
he's made trips before. I think with social media, the awareness of some of these things, not in regards to Jeffrey, but about everything, is magnified. You know, I think it was bizarre for us to be eating dinner in Fargo, North Dakota, and have a fan come up to coach and just say, I'm from Philly. I can't believe you guys are in Fargo. And 10 minutes later, Derek texting us and saying, you guys out to dinner in Fargo? So I think that everything is so much closer than it used to be. And so the attention on everything is also at a premium.
What's your level of
interest in the starter? But in the event player X soundly outplayed him in the preseason and training camp, would he have an opportunity to win that starting job?
I think that goes for any position. I think that's a better question for Doug. You know, I'm not deciding who's starting, but competition is going to bring out the best of everyone, and I think that goes from the quarterback position, that goes to the wide receiver, that goes along the D-line. So I make that blanket statement.
You still have a lot of holes to fill. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you mortgaged the future in giving up four picks and three of them coming in the first three rounds?
Well, what we did in free agency was, to the best we could, try to fill a bunch of holes. And by getting guys like Brandon Brooks and McLeod and McKelvin and Ruben Randall and Wisniewski, and I'm forgetting guys not purposely, we felt like those were young guys who were almost for us, like draft picks, like a second and third round draft picks. No one's sitting here thinking that we're a completed picture, but for us, we want to get into a position where in the near future, we have an opportunity to compete every year, and that starts at the quarterback position. And by us having the depth chart that we have, we feel stronger at that position than we have in a very long time.
How quickly did this deal come together?
I think this is the first deal in the draft where we weren't next to each other at the combine. So I think it's the first non-roommate deal of the offseason. You don't know where I'm going with that. Yeah, okay. We were next to the Dolphins, and the Titans were next to the Rams. We've been having conversations with them throughout the offseason. But we've been having conversations with every team behind us, in front of us. That's just the nature of this time of year. But these conversations have been ongoing probably for the last 3 weeks.
Did the urgency increase after the Titans went out of number
one? No. I think it's been the same tone and tenor throughout.
When was it finalized?
What time is it?
2:36.
You don't even watch. That was good right there. I don't know. What time? Do we have a time? Do we have an official time? Do we have a time sponsor? I'll say, you know, the time sponsor, an official time.
Because you told Sam before practice, and he was in a locker. I mean, you know what I'm saying, he was in a locker room between 12:15 or after one. So did you tell him before that, or
are you just trying to see what kind of poker face he has?
No. I just want to see when the actual deal.
I don't. I could probably figure that out and go back to the records. No, it wasn't.
Mid-after.
Yes.
Mid-day. Okay.
The longest run of success that Jeffers had is with Donovan Brown. Sorry, Rob.
Derek, listen.